Testing 1, 2, 3. Evelyn, could we have a comment from the audience to confirm we have two-way?
Comment.
Wonderful.
Evelyn?
Good evening. Welcome to those attending the personal moment to the record set of the Board of Education for Monday, October 24th.
Our goodness present.
Cipher present.
On October 10th, 2022. Does anyone have any additions or changes to the minutes from that meeting? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes of the regular board meeting from October 10th, 2022.
Second.
Motion by Sauter, second by Schwab to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Item three, communication. We're looking for any communication that we may have received since our last board meeting on October 10th. I personally have not received any communications. Have any board members received any communications since our October 10th meeting? No communications. Thank you. Okay. We'll now move into open discussion, which is an opportunity for board members and audience members to bring forward any items that anyone would like to present to the board. This will only be listened to by the board and we will not engage into discussion, and audience members are reminded that they're also allowed to discuss certain agenda items when those items come up on the agenda. We'll also be taking comments or suggestions from those attending remotely as well. So board members, is there anything that you'd like to bring at this point to open discussion?
I'd like to thank Ms. Barkey and the teachers and staff who were involved with taking the Varsity Letter Club to Milwaukee to attend the Bucks game over the weekend. Feedback that I heard was very positive. And I'd just like to thank everyone involved for giving our kids an opportunity to go catch the Bucks, and apparently Giannis had some record that night.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to bring it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I just wanted to say congratulations to all of our fall athletes, in particular to Betsy Lisi for setting a new record in the girls cross country, as well as Theo Good for being recognized as player of the year for soccer in our conference, which great achievements, and congratulations to both of you on all of your hard work and success.
Thank you. Any other board members? Is anyone in the audience at this time, either attending in person or remotely, that like to bring anything to open discussion? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to item number five on the agenda, reports, and I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Stausland.
Well, thank you. First report is going to be from Vinny Schumel, was going to talk about Friends of Gibraltar, and I believe I'm putting up a video for her.
Thank you.
This is going at a very erratic, different speed than usual. So thanks for your patience, but it's coming to the end. Thank you for watching. And I just want to give a quick overview. I'm not that great with a microphone, but I'll do my best. FOG started, this is our 40th anniversary, which is pretty cool. It started in 1982 in response to the Gibraltar or the Door County school districts that were in the Gibraltar Air District now coming into one building. And there were proposed cuts to the arts program, the library program, and classrooms and trailers, things like that, trying to make something work in one space. And the apparent group became organized at that time and started the first school referendum, which passed, which was great, and then continued on from there. They had artist residency programs with funding from the Wisconsin Arts Board, and then began things like the Gibraltar School newsletter to connect the community to the school. They started the back to school staff lunch, the end of the year school picnics and celebrations. This is all in that first couple of years. Community partnerships with Peninsula School of the Arts, Peninsula Players, many other organizations, and an anonymous donor funded the coordinator position independently from the school for 38 years, which was an incredible contribution. So that kind of takes us through till now. Some other points along the way. In 1991, Friends of Gibraltar worked in partnership with the school and the community to build the Door Community Auditorium as a performance space for both students and bringing in performance-based residencies. A couple other not as interesting parts, but maybe so for a school board. In 2013, Friends of Gibraltar went out from underneath the school's nonprofit umbrella and went under the Hardy Gallery in Ephraim as a fiscal sponsor. The position has always been funded independently outside of the school, as well as hired by the Friends of Gibraltar board in partnership with the school administration. In 2016, a couple other landmarks along the way, we started the Manitouish Leadership Program for sixth grade, four-day leadership retreat. In 2018, we began some programs that were more regularly based instead of being a one-time program based on a theme. They happen every day now. So the Forest Day program with Ridges Sanctuary, which is for grades 4K through 6, and the Tree Talks program, which takes place with Doorways to Nature LLC for grades 7 through 12. We also hosted the Challenge Day program for high school. All of those programs started in 2018. Some of them have not continued because of our kind of lapse in fundraisers and funding during the COVID pandemic. And Forest Days and Tree Talks have continued on past that. In 2022, where we are right now, we have now merged with the Door Community Auditorium as an organization. So they are our new fiscal sponsor, which is a really great partnership anyway, because we have done a lot of programming with them over the years. So we're excited about that. So that's kind of a quick overview, and I won't get too detailed into budgets because it's a pretty draft budget in front of you, but just wanted to give a couple of highlights. Well, and backtracking a little bit, the video did say this, but just to kind of reiterate it quickly, all of the Friends of Gibraltar programs take place during the school day as part of the curriculum for an entire grade level. That's a standard that we've always held. We didn't want to do something that was just for gifted and talented students or just for students that self-identified with a certain interest. We wanted to have students, all students have the opportunity because they... Our philosophy is that they don't necessarily know what they're interested in until they've had a chance to really experience it. So the budget. The annual value that we bring in with partner contributions, which are both in dollars and in kind, you can see in our first column, it's a listing of our major program providers that sponsor with us, the Door Community Auditorium, the Ridges Sanctuary, Doorway to Nature, Peninsula School of the Art, the Hardy Gallery, right on Door County, and then a section that's a large dollar amount that says other partnerships. And those are, and you, if you go across in the column, you'll see number of programs. So that's a total of 30 different programs that are every kind of field trip with at least half a dozen, if not a dozen other organizations that I just didn't list them all out here. So that program value about $114,000 with partner contribution being about $77,000 per year. So I think it's just a good way to kind of highlight what some of these partnerships bring to the school. And then you'll see in there the Friends of Gibraltar contribution and the school contribution towards those programs. Number of programs, about 318 a year. Number of students, you're going to say, how is it 5,087? That's repeated programs for the same students. So a lot of programs, about 608 hours of program time. Just a quick overview. And if anyone has any questions, it kind of goes on from there. I think another huge strength of the organization is the volunteers that are involved, which we're super thankful for. Just kind of going down that list quickly. Forest Days, 75 volunteers, 800 hours. And it kind of goes from there until the total is about 200 volunteers and about 1600 hours a year. So we coordinate bringing those people into the school to interact with students and be a part of the programs. All right, does anyone have any questions? I'm going to kind of end there, I think, and just leave it open to questions, just to give you kind of an overview of the organization for new administration and new board members. So thank you.
You're muted, Don.
Yeah. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. What?
There. Okay. Thank you for all your efforts with the FOG program and everything you do for the school. Mm-hmm. And just quick question for you, and thank you for your presentation this evening. Yes. Will you be proceeding with the Bucket Garden program this year as well?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Eric Warner is planning to build some of those and have them ready for the spring.
Okay, yes. Good. Great.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Our next report is coming from Ms. Senora Rosa Nelson and her, I think she's some kiddos that went on the cultural trip last June to Spain. And I do have their PowerPoint slides, and I'm not sure if you just want me to do this.
Yeah. Yes. Well, as you probably know, I've been organizing some trips for some years. I took some years ago a group of students to Costa Rica with the help of Mr. Daly. Then I took another group to Peru. And then last June, Mr. Daly, Mrs. Winker, who couldn't be here right now today, and myself went with 18 Gibraltar students to Spain in June. And here it is, a little bit of, we wanted to share with you actually our experience in Spain. Not all these trips are open to any student in high school. They don't have to necessarily be part of the Spanish program. Most of the kids are Spanish students, but we had a few that didn't. So they had the opportunity to speak Spanish and learn about Catalan. In Spain, we have 5 different languages, so many people are bilingual or trilingual. They learn about Spanish culture and history. They visited many historical sites, as you will see. They learn about Spanish art at El Prado Museum, cooked and experienced authentic Spanish cuisine, and learn to dance also flamenco. If you can pass the So this is when we first started our trip. We arrived in the south of Spain in Granada. You can keep going. When we were there, they had a big celebration going on. So a lot of people dressed in traditional flamenco dancers, flamenco outfits. So the girls were very amazed by the typical traditional Spanish fans. It's very hot in the south of Spain. They visited also Moroccan style tea house because as you know, and the students learn, Spain was for 7 centuries under Arab control until 1492. So there is a huge Arab influence in architecture, gastronomy or food, even in our language, our music, etc. Then we went from Granada, visited La Alhambra, as I the Red Palace. Then we went to Sevilla and visited Las Setas, is the biggest wood structure in the world. We had a lot of fun eating and traveling. We took a cruise in the Guadalquivir River in Sevilla. It was extremely hot. Then we visited an olive farm also, and the students learned a lot about extra virgin olive oil. They laugh at me because I always say that you can use it for anything and everything. We tried, and they tried some chocolate ice cream with orange infused olive oil, and it was
good.
Anyway, okay, this one you have to stop there. They took also some flamenco dancing. If you go up to the previous one, they took some flamenco, not the one.
Yeah, it's just a delay.
Oh, okay, because there is a video there in which you will see the students and teachers dancing flamenco here. If you click in one of those, we all took some flamenco dancing lessons. Would you be able to? I don't know if you can.
Is this the video?
Yeah. Can you access that? Or?
Sure.
Will it come up?
There are a couple of, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe you could just demonstrate it in person.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we all took some flamenco dancing lessons there before watching a flamenco dancing a show. Okay, maybe we can, I don't know. Let's see. Mr. Daly. We all had the opportunity. No, I did dance, but I'm not in the video. In this one, I was thinking of taking the video. I don't know. Okay. Then we can keep going then. So then we had that flamenco dancing show. And after all these experiences in Sevilla, we went to Madrid, but we stopped in Cordoba, where there is a huge cathedral. It's really a mosque, but they call it a cathedral, but it looks like a mosque, and it is a mosque, and it was a mosque. It was originally a pagan temple, then a Christian temple, then an Arab mosque, then a Christian temple, then an Arab, back and forth. Now it's a Christian cathedral, but then walking around Cordoba, that is a very beautiful city, tasting typical food, and in the obviously making had some fun. Even some of our vegetarian students were posting in their some Spanish hands. We had a detour to the emergency room, but and nothing was. After spending a lot of hours until 4 something in the morning at a huge hospital in Madrid, but we found out it was nothing really important. A couple of episodes, of course, and a student that was about retrieve the passport, and we had to find it, but nothing major. Then we visited in Madrid El Palacio Real, the Royal Palace, and then we had also the opportunity to go and have some tapas and tuna. Tapas, as you know, are like small portions of food, typical from Spain, and then the tuna also, it's a traditional, I had another video, but I don't know if you can watch it, a traditional kind of medieval music. Some of the students in different universities, they dress up in medieval costumes and they play medieval, some guitars or different instruments. Of course, we stop in El Museo del Prado, one of the best, most incredible museums in the world, and to learn a little bit about Spanish art. And we had a birthday. Mark turned actually 17, but we couldn't find 17, so we put 18 there in the game. So we tried the chocolate con churros in Madrid. I think they ate a lot of it. And we also had a cooking class. We made tortilla de patata, paella, gazpacho, even some sweet torta de Santiago. It was really... And we ate it. It was delicious. Mm-hmm. So That's the paella right there, like the rice dish, typical from Spain. Then we took a fast train to from Madrid to Barcelona. Actually, if you drive, it's probably around 6 or more hours, and in the train is 2.5 hours. And then in Barcelona, we visited a lot of the architecture by Antoni Gaudí, famous architect. One of them is the Parc Güell. It's a beautiful park. And then La Sagrada Familia, also in Barcelona. Again, another of his works. And of course, I had to show this last picture from Lourdes' picture. He took pictures of all the pigeons around Spain. In every city, he had like a collection, a really incredible collection of pictures of all the pigeons in all the major sites, et cetera, et cetera. Very interesting. Then we had some, even brought some little souvenirs. I don't know what happened, but they allowed him to pass through customs and everything with that huge lollipop. And these are personal statements from students. I can, well, maybe some of them can.
Can you read? This is from Mac. Can you read them?
Mackenzie.
Okay, yeah, yeah, well, okay. Oh, Mac, I didn't see you. Okay. I thought you weren't here. So. Okay, so why don't you read yours?
Okay. This trip was amazing. I had something for everyone, from beautiful architecture to times that we were able to explore in small groups. I enjoyed the opportunity to hear and read Spanish all around and improve my skills. I found it interesting how diverse the regions of Spain that we visited were. I was very fortunate to have my birthday while we were in Madrid, and it was definitely one that I'll never forget, not to mention all of the wonderful cheesecakes.
Yeah, Helen wasn't able to join us, but she wrote about saying, last summer, I was one of the students lucky enough to go to Spain. I can't say enough about the experience, and in the best way possible. Not only did it strengthen my bond with my peers, but I also got to learn firsthand about a different culture. Moreover, I was able to practice important life skills that will serve me in my whole life. For example, we always had to make sure that we had our passports, wallets, phones, and hotel keys with us at all times. The trip exposed us to new perspectives, allowing us to gain a better understanding of the world around us. However, overall, the experience was one of the best in my life, and I know many, if not all, of my peers that went on the trip feel the same way. I am deeply grateful for the chance to go to Spain because of the school's support.
I really enjoyed my time in Spain, and I learned a lot about the culture, which was incredible. It definitely beat just reading it in a textbook. It was also amazing to be put in an immersive experience so that I was pushed out of my comfort zone, and it gave me the ability to use my Spanish speaking skills in a real situation. And now I feel more comfortable to speak Spanish with people I don't know, which is a very necessary skill to have when learning a language and being able to apply it to circumstances I might find myself in.
Going to Spain was a lifetime experience. I saw impressive old and massive structures like the Mosque Cathedral of Cordoba, which had hundreds of perfectly crafted pillars, or Sagrada Familia, which had been under construction since 1882. While we traveled from Granada to Sevilla, then Madrid, and then finally to Barcelona, I got to see all that Spain had to offer. I tried new foods like the tortillas de patatas and the many tapas that we had enjoyed for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. While trying my foods, exploring Spain's historical architecture, and shopping with Mr. Delaney to my heart's content, I even met new friends. I roomed with Dex the entire trip, and even though we never talked before, we spent the entire trip becoming friends, even staying up to 1 a.m. talking one night. We still even talk to this day, and a few months after returning from an experience no one would forget.
Going to Spain was really amazing. I got to experience a culture different than my own and see and talk to new people, seeing things differently than they are here in Door County. The food was so amazing and the experiences were even better. I love being able to see the architecture. Thank you for allowing us to go to have the opportunity to go to Spain. I hope more trips in the future can be planned. to give students the opportunity that I had.
Okay, this is from another student who is not here, couldn't be here. Our trip to Spain was unforgettable. Seeing many cities in a different country gives a very close look into a different culture, and being surrounded by Spanish language and culture with my peers really heightened my understanding of what we were learning in class. My favorite memory of the trip was the last day in Barcelona when we all went shopping and got to experience the city for ourselves. Future Spanish students will definitely benefit from foreign trips, as traveling with your friends is a great experience. So before we close, and you know, Mr. Daly, I think he wants to.
Yeah, I have something to say for myself, and I also have Mrs. Winker's statement because she couldn't be here either, so I'll start with mine. As a history teacher, I think it was amazing to experience the history. I know Becca touched on it in her personal statement a little bit, talking about how you can read about it in a textbook, you can hear about it in a classroom, but it's not the same as experiencing it, whether it's the influence of Islam on the flamenco dance or the architecture and the one mosque from before the Reconquista in 1492 that remained because they built a cathedral in the middle of it. Was pretty impressive stuff to actually see and experience, and how history shapes the culture of Spain today and what's happening there. Christopher Columbus has a different perspective of people in Spain than he does here. He's much beloved in Spain, while in America, he's not as beloved as he used to be in this country, so, or other places in America. So it's kind of cool to see different perspectives and how history shapes the modern day culture of those people and seeing that. And from Mrs. Winker, thank you for the opportunity to be a chaperone on the Spain trip this past summer. We had an amazing group of students who were able to experience travel, open their minds to different cultures, and to get out of their comfort zone to engage in conversation and learning with people from around the globe. The students and I learned about history, architecture, culture, food, dance, and how much gelato you can ingest before you've hit your limit. That was a lot. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for many of our students, which would not have been possible without the board support of teacher chaperones. So once again, thank you for your continued support of experiences for your students and staff.
Okay, I just want to say before we close that, again, thank you very much for the opportunity, the support, and I hope that you keep supporting us, because I'm already thinking about our next adventure. So you'll hear soon from me. Okay, thank you. Any questions? No?
Any questions for Rosa?
Excuse me? Yeah. Excuse me. So I couldn't hear you very well. Oh, if we could get more chaperones. Well, it depends on the amount of students. The more, you know, students, the more chaperones we'll need. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next report is coming from the emergency management group, and they're proposing a new fiber route. And let me connect. We have Chris Hecht and Daniel Kane. I just don't see him right now.
Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, there you are. Yeah, we can hear you.
Great. Good evening, everyone. My name is Dan Kane, Emergency Management and Communications Director for the county. It's my intent tonight to be brief. Along with me, I have Chris Hecht, Sister Bay Liberty Grove Fire Chief, as well. Just a quick understanding of why I'm here tonight. The county of Door Public Safety runs on a system of radio towers, one of which is located across the street from you on a Cellcom tower, which is part of the county's public safety radio backbone. In recent years, that site has become increasingly more dense in terms of the amount of equipment that's on that tower. It's overloaded, and it has caused problems for us in the public safety world. A lot of noise interference on that site. So last year we took some initiative to partner with the state DNR for a site that they had in the park, Peninsula Park, that needed an upgrade as well. long story short, we ended up partnering with them on an agreement to be able to co-locate equipment at that site. So in order to do that, many steps need to be taken, obviously, and this is where you guys come in. In that you'll notice on the map here a kind of an orange colored line. You'll notice that at the south end of that map is going to be the current site that the equipment is on today. What we're looking to do is essentially run fiber underground over from that current site over to the new proposed site in Peninsula Park. There you go, just north up there. The fiber itself, the main benefits that I see that we could partner with Gibraltar on, the first being, again, just our ability to get off of that tower and move that equipment off of its current site, I think would be a benefit, not only just for us and interference, for the SROs, fire EMS personnel that are going to be working both in and around the school. It provides a much more stable site for us. As in the last couple of years, we've had to take that site down completely offline due to the noise interference we've had at that site, rendering that site inoperable and causing problems for us. So this new site will allow us to be more resilient and allow for our radios to have a better chance of operating during emergency situations in and around not only the school, but in the general community. And then if you'll scroll down just a little bit, trying to get a shot of the, there we go. You'll notice the proposed fiber run here. This is a proposed fiber run put together by our engineer, Len Keenan. And this would be essentially dug with a small device that just essentially makes an incision into the ground. No backhoes, no heavy digging, or just an insert into the ground, fiber laid in it, and then it's covered back up. So minimally invasive is the way I would describe it. Running it along that line there through the backyard of the school property. You'll notice there's a little circle, I think it's B. That's a proposed connection point put in by the engineer. We could work with your facilities IT folks to determine the most appropriate site, but I think the biggest benefit for the school would allow you to be able to tap into that fiber as a school and be connected into the network through the county. And wherever we want to place that location, we could have up to two different spots along that fiber route that you'd be able to tap into and the county would provide you access to that fiber. So to me, a big benefit for both sides from that standpoint. Without getting too more detailed, I guess I would propose, questions at this point. Concerns. The purpose of me tonight is really just to gauge a sense of interest for this and to take back any questions that you may or may not have. If I do a good enough job tonight, then if you guys have an interest in moving forward, we can work with the fine folks that are working on this to get moving on the next steps.
Any questions for Dan or Chris?
I guess this being new to this, so I a lot to absorb. And I don't know if you could just kind of sum up for us, you know, if you're asking for a decision about moving forward, just, you know, taking what you just said and kind of synopsis of what's the game here and what's the ask? Like what's the decision that we need to make? I am trying to kind of synthesize all the information you just shared, and not quite clear.
Sure, so the ask would be essentially to allow us to run fiber from the current site through the school property as listed on that map, through that line up to Peninsula State Park where the new tower site would be erected.
And that's,
I guess,
digging up a large portion of the property, or what happens, what's the timeline for that?
Sorry, it's a little quiet. You said digging up property?
Yeah, so what does that mean when you're running that line? Are you creating a big, is there a big area of property that's dug up, or what is that?
I think what he was describing is all what they call like a ditch witch, where it just slices the earth and it lays the cable in and push the earth right back on it. I don't know if you're looking at our property line and behind where the buses are, that's concrete. So I don't know if they go around the concrete or if they go under it or what. But
sounds like there's going to be some cutting that they'll have to do, some sawing. So if we did allow this, would certainly want to be mindful of class time. Because that would be quite a noise, I would think.
Yeah. And at one point, Dan, I was always thought that some of the concern was going to cut across the softball field, but your lines look like they follow just on the backside of basically all of our fields, if that's correct.
That's correct. Yeah, that this would circumvent the baseball field there and just run as far along the perimeter as possible, essentially creating a utility easement that you guys could then tap into fairly simply, and that would connect your school to the fiber network. You would essentially, we'd bring the fiber to your back door, and you'd have your own accessibility to it. We can place those connection points wherever would be best and most cost-effective to you to connect to, but.
Yeah, and I will say the fiber is an advantage for us to have it that close, according to Andrew.
What is the other line where Circle A is? There was another line, it wasn't highlighted in orange, that goes across our property.
It's in the front parking lot next to the baseball field. It was on the last slide. It's a dotted line. I'm not sure.
Probably, could it be? You're not talking about the parcel line. Let me just check.
There it is. Right, Jessica, that one.
Yeah, the one.
Right here.
Yeah, that goes along our parking lot, and then has A as a circle as an access point, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that line represents.
Okay, but it has nothing to do with this proposal.
Not to my knowledge. I can confirm that, but.
Okay, and is there any cost to the school for this project?
No cost at all. We would do all the work on our end.
Thank you.
And any subsequent use of the fiber, is there a cost to that usage?
Not to my knowledge, and speaking to our county IS folks, they can essentially, without getting too technical on it, they can essentially patch you into the county network similar to the other schools in the county and give you essentially as much bandwidth as you're going to need through the different fiber strands. But we would run 12 strands of fiber between the two facilities, so that we could easily, he said, give you two strands just to yourself, and that would provide you ample bandwidth. And it would prevent us from needing to purchase more expensive equipment if we wanted to do this a different way. And I don't mean to be a technical expert, but there would be a cost savings from that standpoint. When you do connect in, you wouldn't have to purchase as expensive equipment as you would if you went a different route.
Where do you see this project 10 years from now? Will the county be using a similar type of technology?
I do. The county has a 20-year agreement with Insight, who owns the fiber, so I anticipate this being a long-term deal. The state is very excited to partner with us on this project. There's a larger project countywide that we're looking at doing over the next 5 to 7 years that's going to take us from our current technology on radios into what I would describe as kind of the next generation of radios, which is an 800 system, which is going to allow for hopefully better building penetration in the future, which would obviously help with this tower in the future as well. But again, it just gets us off of a tower now that's really not working well for the county, and puts us in a spot that isn't a good spot that can not only help the school, but the greater community as a whole. And I think the next generation of our system will improve it even that much further in the next 5 to 7 years.
Everything looks pretty clear from 1,000 feet up looking down on the map. When you walk it and see where the lines are and where the fences are, there will be some contradictions between what's easy and what's hard. It will be an exciting adventure for you.
Yes, and I think, you know, we'd also be open to, walking with you or coming out on site and making sure everything meets your qualifications and that. More just looking to see if this is even an interest or a complete deal breaker at this point.
I spoke with the DNR today as well over a couple things, and we talked about this too. And I think your biggest challenge is some of the burying the fiber in the DNR land, what you have to go through.
Yeah, that's a good point. If we moved it any further, I guess that would be on that map would be west. If we moved that any further west, you'd be in the DNR property in those trees, and you'd be getting your chainsaw out, making a lot of improvements to Mother Nature that we don't want to make. So certainly this is the most cost-effective, easiest way to get there, and I think it benefits both sides.
And, you know, if there's not any other questions, this is not an action item for tonight, but I would put it on our next board meeting for the board to discuss and decide next steps.
That works for me, and I can work with anybody on further steps between now and then. I look forward to that opportunity.
But if any people have questions, they can funnel them my way, and I'll get them to Dan and Chris.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, the last report is, and any board member that attended can jump in as well, but we had a meeting on October 13th, and it was some community members, board members, and staff kind of introductory work around creating a strategic plan for our district. And we looked at some of our school data, looked at some comparisons with what we call like schools, meaning schools that are similar in size, similar financial dollars behind each student, similar demographics. And we talked a little bit about our mission and vision, and does it match our desired outcomes we're looking for. And this Thursday, several building leaders will be meeting with the same group that facilitated this last meeting, and doing a similar work, looking at data, looking at what we're calling kind of high leverage opportunities to improve our district. And from there, our administrative team is building what we're calling tactical plans, strategic plans. And we will, once those are flushed out, we will bring those to the board on November 28th and share those with the board as to next steps. And then that group that met on the 13th, we will invite that same group back in late winter, early spring, to just share what we've been doing, and also to get their feedback and make sure we're on track. And if there's anything else we should be considering as we finish this school year, as we move into the following year.
When you say you're bringing the same group, does that mean the consultants, or are you referring to the community members?
Both. Yep. And in the spring, it would probably not be with the consultants. It would just be with our admin team and the community group and board and the staff that were there. Okay.
Thank you. Any board member have any questions about the strategic planning meeting or comments? Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item number 6 and committee reports. We've had several committee meetings since our last board meeting, and We'll start out with our Student Learning Committee report. Dr. Seifer.
The Student Learning Committee met last week. It was one of our most wonderful meetings because there was only one agenda item. Typically, we have multiples, but we were able to focus upon one agenda item, which was the question of how do we discern between academic and our curricular and extracurricular activities in our school. We spent a full hour in a very exploratory conversation about what's academic, what isn't, what's extracurricular. And in our school, where we value the four A's, academics, arts, activities, and athletics, where do we place academics or curricular? We, after a lot of conversation, I think we have a draft that we'll be talking about and finalizing at our next meeting. The draft reads something like this. Curricular refers to the academic course of study required for student promotion from 4K through grade 8 and the credit-bearing academic coursework of the secondary school approved by the school board that leads to a Gibraltar High School diploma. Academic is coursework. Academic is grade promotion. Academic is credit bearing towards high school diploma and graduation. All academic programs, except those specified in Wisconsin statutes, are free to all students. Co-curricular refers to all other educational programming for students that is approved and supported by the school board. Co-curricular programs may have attached fee structures. We wanted to make certain that we're moving from the concept of extra, which is kind of the last thing to be added on, extra, to co. Co meaning that this is of similar importance. We can't say equal with curricular, academic, because the statutes separate them. But we can say co, so that as we talk about the four A's in our school, we can give high significance and importance to student participation in all of our activities, all of our programs. The committee on November 7th will review this draft and bring it towards the board for an approval at a subsequent meeting. We will meet again next Monday. We'll have another lively conversation about student learning. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Do you want to move right into policy then?
Oh, I'd love to, Don. The policy committee also met last Monday. Our policy committee is working upon two types of policy. One is a review of our current policies in our board book. And the second is updating our NEOLA policies that are provided to us by our statewide policy writing group called NEOLA. We reviewed in specifics the concept of an annual school calendar policy, which we'll address later in this agenda, the medication policy 5330, which we'll also address later in this agenda. We began to talk about a class size policy. It exists as 2312 in our current board manual, but it is not very specific. It kind of says class sizes are what class sizes are. It does not give any guidance as to their size, their ratio, or differentiation in grade levels or in schools. We want to address that. We addressed the concerns brought by a board member about the about cell phone policy. Dr. Stausland talked with us about his conversation with parents and the belief that at this point in time, the concerns that were raised by parents on our cell phone policy have been discussed and understood and do not require changes to our cell phone policies at this time. We reviewed the Allergy Aware School District policy on school buses, and we'll talk about that later in the agenda. The remainder of our time was addressing NEOLA policies, and we have for the board's consideration a handful of those for your consideration and approval later in this agenda. The policy committee will meet again next Monday. We look forward to that meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Seifer.
Are there any questions, Mr. Helmer?
Yeah, I would just add that those two committees will meet on the 7th. We have the fifth Monday. I'm taking off for Halloween. I'm going trick or treating, so it'll be on the 7th.
We will all rest on that date, Dr. Stileson. Thank you.
All right. The Joint Finance and Maintenance Committee met this afternoon, as a matter of fact, at 4 o'clock. Some of the items on our agenda were we approved the minutes of our August 30th, 2022 meeting. We also did a slight discussion on the CG Smith review. And we also looked at the future facilities planning of the 1930s and 1950s sections of the school. And I'd like to preface by saying that contrary to a lot of things that have been thrown about, you know, there's no decisions that have been made at any point regarding the future of the facility of this building at this point. We are very much in the exploratory stages of this process, and we are obviously seeking input from all stakeholders involved in this. So there has been no decisions made whatsoever about the future of, again, about the future of the facility of this building. So I just want that to be clear to everyone that's listening and anyone who in the community to know that we are very much at the very beginning stages of this. So we also looked at the condition of our school windows in the elementary building. We were looking at this in relationship to the current conditions in them and also relationship with them as far as our long-term planning of the school facility. We're looking at replacement of these windows, not only from a safety standpoint, which is first and foremost, but also from a weatherproofing and condition as well. So we also discussed maintenance of the IMC, which has been put into service now just a little under 2 years. And we're just making sure that we're keeping that properly maintained. And we also looked at the door counting or the DC auditorium as well. But there's some issues there involving the roof and the siding of that building that, you know, we need to be addressed. And we're looking at the timeline on that and how we will fund those ventures on that. We also discussed some cosmetic or aesthetic work to be done on the gymnasium. The gym will be painted. The walls will be painted in there. We've been told that we have too many shades of blue in there. So we will be looking at doing a color change in there, which I'm sure will spur many conversations. But we will be repainting the walls in there. The duct work, which Dr. Stileson pointed out, is galvanized, which should have never been painted in the first place, will also be scraped down and repainted. And there'll be some repainting of the standards for the basketball goals. Those will be painted white, I believe, as well, so that they will blend in a little better. There'll be some reorganization of the banners in there. And last but certainly not least, relocation of the fire extinguishers. Our next meeting is November 14th at 5 p.m. Are there any questions of this committee? Moving on, I'll turn it over to Mrs. Sauter for a update from the DCA Liaison Committee meeting.
Thank you. The DCA Liaison Committee has met twice. We met on September 12th, as well as just this evening, October 24th. Our first meeting included an introduction of our new members, superintendent, and the DCA staff to get everybody up to speed. Carrie Lewis, the DCA director, gave a great overview of the relationship between the school and the DCA and the DCAC, which is the corporation that leases the auditorium from the school. She also presented an update of their current season and had some good news that the overall numbers for attendance and revenue were up in comparison to 2019, which was their last reasonable season for comparison due to the COVID interruption. We covered the move of the FOG program under the umbrella of the DCA, and Vinny gave a great presentation that kind of mirrored what she gave us this evening. And then we turned to this, the discussion that there is significant maintenance needed on the auditorium property. There's been a lot of deferred maintenance over the last quite a bit of time. And Carrie had a list that she shared from a 2019 walkthrough. We decided to table that discussion until after our review from C.G. Schmidt. The last thing we discussed at that meeting was that a deep cleaning of the auditorium is definitely needed at this point, and we are looking for, we've reached out to a few companies to get some bids to figure out what, you know, what that exactly will entail. Tonight we met and had a walkthrough of the property, looking at many of the maintenance issues as well as the areas that needed to be cleaned. And we are going to be working probably with the campus maintenance committee going forward on quite a bit of that that maintenance needed. So we do not yet have a date for our next meeting, as we need all of our committee members' input prior to making that decision. Any questions for this committee?
We look forward to that list that you'll be forwarding to the campus maintenance committee. So
yes, it will be a little bit long.
All right, thank you. Moving on, item 7 on our agenda, new business. Item A, the board will be looking tonight to review and adopt the final 2022-23 budget. And for that, I'm going to turn that over to our financial expert and human resources manager, Sally McAvoy.
The 2022-2023 revised budget includes an increase in property valuation. It went up 20%. There's also an adjustment to final pupil count, which went down a little because the 4K students, they count as 0.6 full-time equivalent versus 1.0 full-time equivalent. In addition, we're paying an additional $500,000 of our debt in order to pay down quicker. Evelyn emailed you the budget items. And if you look at the budget for adoption highlighted on the bottom, the total expenditures for all funds, that includes the general fund 10, special education 27, food services 50, and the debt service fund 39. Total of $15,709,839.35 is the budget for approval. Again, few things changed because of the third Friday count in the revenue limit calculations. Also the open enroll students in from the third Friday count changed some of the numbers, and per pupil categorical 8. And the proposed budget, the revenue over expenses to fund the balance totals $405,267.07. Questions
on this? Dr. Stausland, does this budget provide the district with enough funding for all of our approved educational programs and anticipated expenses?
It does. It absolutely does. And with the increase in valuation, I think for the community's sake, the mill rate having been 3.42 as was last year, as it was predicted for this year, dropping to 2.98 would be pleasing for the community as well, and yet still allow us to do what we need to do as a school district.
Thank you.
Any other questions by any board members? Is there a motion to approve the 2022-2023 budget?
I move to adopt the final 2022-23 budget in the amount
total expenditures of $15,709,839.35.
Second.
We have a motion by Schwab, a second by Cipher to approve the 2022-2023 budget. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries. We have a budget. All right. Item number B, set the 2022-2023 tax levy. I'll again turn that over to Ms. McAvoy again. Thank you.
The 2022-2023 tax levy will be $14,341,337, resulting in approximate mill rate of $2.98 per $1,000 property value, or $298 per $100,000. And again, as I mentioned before, the things that changed is what affected the new mill rate. And at the annual meeting, it was estimated 3.41, so it went down. Questions?
I think we should recognize this is probably the lowest mill rate of any school district in the state of Wisconsin.
It's pretty low.
Do we have a motion to set the 2022-2023 tax levy?
I move to set the 2022-2023 tax levy in the amount of $14,341,337 with an approximate mill rate of 298.
Second.
We have a motion by Schwab, a second by Schreier to approve the 2022-2023 tax levy. Is there any discussion? Not. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Item C, approval of short-term borrowing for cash flow purposes.
The shortfall for cash purposes is related to when our district receives large payments from local municipalities twice per year, usually February and August. The district has obtained short-term cash flow borrows throughout the years. Last year, the district borrowed $2.5 million, and this year, the amount requested for the line of credit is $2 million from Nicolet Bank. The rate is 4.94. It's a fixed rate for 1 year. And the goal is to eventually build up our fund balance so we do not need to short-term borrow. Any questions?
What is our current fund balance?
Well, yeah, it's about $6 million, okay. But the cash flow is very different just because of how we get the money, when we get the money, right. And then when we spend that money. And because we get, for our school district, the revenue, mostly we get it from the property tax.
Right.
And also with the inflation, we do not know if people are gonna pay everything up front in one payment, or they might spread it out in two payments, which means we might not get a big chunk of money in February and just get half of it in the other half.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion to approve short-term borrowing for cash flow purposes?
I move to approve short-term borrowing for cash flow purposes in the amount of $2 million through Nicolet Bank at a rate of 4.94%.
Second.
Could I please, should it be in the amount of or not to exceed $2 million? Is there a difference?
Yeah, should be not to exceed. My apologies. I would like to resubmit it. I move to approve short-term borrowing for cash flow purposes in the amount not to exceed $2 million through Nicolet Bank at a rate of 4.94%.
Second.
Yeah, it should be read as it is in the packet.
Do you have a copy of that? Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think in order to withdraw that motion and the second.
My motion.
And the second.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
Move to approve the resolution authorizing the taxable tax and revenue anticipation promissory note for cash flow purposes in an amount not to exceed $2 million through Nicolet Bank at a rate of 4.94%.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Schwab, a second by Sauter to approve the short-term borrowing for cash flow purposes. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
And I'll just to add commentary, but Sally has been drinking through a fire hose with learning the budget and figuring everything out, and she's doing great work. So we're glad she's with us.
I'm glad I'm here.
Item number D, approve the following policies. I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Seifer.
The policies that we're asking the board to consider and approve this evening are presented in your packet. Having heard no or read no mail concerning additions or subtractions or deletions or amendments to these, I move board approval of policy 0143. Authority of the board.
I move to approve policy 0143, authority of the board.
Second.
We have a motion by Sauter, a second by Schwab to approve policy 0143, authority of the board. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I move board approval of policy 0167.3, public participation at board meetings.
I move to approve policy 0167.3, public participation at board meetings.
Second.
We have a motion by Sauter, a second by Schwab to approve public participation at board meetings. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Item three.
I move board approval of policy 0171.1, president of the board.
Second.
I move to approve policy. Steve, I can't understand you. Are you moving or are you forwarding?
I am moving.
Oh, I apologize.
Okay.
I'll lick my lips and try again.
Right. We have a motion by Seifer, a second by Sauter for policy 0171.1, president of the board. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item four.
I move approval of policy 0174.2, school performance report.
Second.
We have a motion by Seifer, a second by Sauter for policy 0174.2, school performance report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item five.
I move board approval of policy 1130, ethics and conflict of interest.
I have a question on this one. It is titled in the handout, just conflict of interest, but in the agenda, it's ethics and conflict of interest. Does that matter? As long as the number's the same, yep. But the title is different.
Second.
We have a motion by Seifer, a second by Sauter for Policy 1130, Ethics and Conflict of Interest. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
None. Yeah. Jeremy, I'll double check with the older person what the right proper name should be.
Motion carries. Item six.
I move board approval of policy 1210, board district administrator relationship.
Second.
We have a motion by Cypher, a second by Sauter to approve policy 1210, board district administrator relationship. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item seven.
I move board approval of policy 2266, non-discrimination.
Second.
We have a motion by Cypher, a second by Schwab for policy 2266, non-discrimination. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item eight.
I move board approval of policy 2700.01, school performance report.
Second.
We have a motion by Cypher, a second by Sauter for policy 2700.01, school performance report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item nine.
I move board approval of policy 5330, medication policy.
Second.
We have a motion by Cypher, a second by Sauter for policy 5330, medication policy. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10.
I move board approval of a policy to be numbered 2110, 2110, setting the annual school calendar.
Dr. Cypher, can you just share the changes from the last time?
Yeah, I think.
Or do you, I'm happy to as well.
Be happy, Dr. Stelson.
All right. I think the where we spent more time talking and other board members that were there, feel free to jump in, but was having a first draft by the first board meeting in November and having the board approve the calendar by the first meeting in January. So it kind of gives two months of discussion around the based off that first draft.
During the meeting, I had asked about whether we wanted to have in policy the first day of pupil instruction being on a Tuesday after Labor Day. I just, because we've had discussion over the past year about different calendars, I think we want to lock ourselves into that policy. But that's important to keep in the policy. I'm supportive of the direction that we want to go to. I just, necessitates that particular specificity. I think the other things that I've seen here is that we added that bullet point to the list of different
correct
professional the last days, one. Right?
Yep.
To include any training that advances education. And also I know that there was modification to the discussion around holiday vacation days, which I appreciate. So that was, I guess, my only question was if we wanted to lock in on Tuesday after Labor Day. I think, Dr. Cypher, you had mentioned that that has been the tradition going back maybe decades. So I think,
looking at the calendars through 2026, it's not an issue when we're looking at number of days until 2026 because other. Just where the days fall, it just that where it makes sense. It's either the first or second or third, but when 2026 rolls around, it's 4 days, then your additional days you're trying to fit into the calendar in a short window. So I see that's where it could be problematic, and that's something that would come back to the board at that time. Or I think what you're saying is it necessary?
Dr. Stelson, thank you for your comment about the frequency in which Labor Day and September 1st may present a question in our calendaring. Our intention, I think, to our community would be well appreciated by stating that our usual start date would be the Tuesday after Labor Day. We had one of our committee members point out that there was a date several years ago, maybe a decade or more ago, when we began at September 1st. And that was tried for 1 year only. And then we went immediately back to the Monday after Labor Day. And I think that we have the opportunity, the board will have the opportunity on those unique calendars where the first and Labor Day present themselves in a special arrangement, that the board can amend this policy and set a calendar different than our usual intention.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt new policy 2210, setting the annual school calendar?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Seifer and a second by Schwab to approve policy 2210, setting the annual school calendar. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 8, you should have included in your packet the itemized list of bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of said bills?
I move to approve payment of bills totaling $166,479.69 as presented in the board packet.
Second.
There's a motion by Schwab, a second by Schreier to approve payment of the bills in the amount of $166,479.69. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
We shall pay our bills. Item number 9, any donations to the district?
Yes, we have one donation, a $500 donation to the Angel Fund from Stella Maris Parish. I ask the board to please accept the donation.
I move that we accept the donation with thanks.
Second.
We have a motion by Sauter, a second by Schwab to accept the donations with thanks. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. There's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
To adjourn.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.